Today's reading comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 56. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried those who were ill on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Thank you, Eugene. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as you had compassion on that vast crowd and so taught them many things, we pray you'd look on us now. We trust as you do so, you do look with compassion. You see our needs. And we ask you, please, to teach us, to feed us through your word. Help us to see you more clearly as you are. For we ask, for your name's sake, amen. Amen. If you're watching at home, do have a Bible open if you can. Have one within reach. That would help you. If you're here in the building, didn't bring a Bible, many of us would have brought a phone. I think it would help to have the passage in front of you. Mark 6, 30 to the end of the chapter. Let me read again, just the end of verse 31. Where Jesus says to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." There are some invitations we might get when I guess our first instinct is to try and think of an excuse to get out of it. Okay? This invitation was certainly not like that. Can you imagine at the moment a more wonderful invitation to be given than this? For the Lord Jesus to say to you, "Come with me
by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. For many of us, life under COVID is full of more of a slog. It's more of a stress than life might normally be. And we're longing for rest. And if we know ourselves well, we know that our soul's deepest longing actually is for rest with him, isn't it? And that is what Jesus is offering his disciples. And yet, as we read on in the passage, we might be tempted to think, well, that didn't work out very well, did it? There's no escape from the crowds, no escape from the busyness of ministry. And at 3 o'clock the next morning, they still haven't got to their beds. They're straining at their oars, wind against them in the middle of a lake. And that certainly is not my idea of a holiday. That is my idea of a nightmare, I think, kind of holiday. And yet, I'm not so sure that Jesus' purpose of giving them rest was thwarted by these events. He meant them to find rest. And I think we'll see that in a strange way, he does show them how real rest is to be enjoyed. We know rest, above all, in knowing him. In these two stories, Jesus is revealing himself to the disciples, particularly to them. This is intended as their time with him. They're his particular focus. Yes, he taught and fed the crowds, but I suspect only the disciples really grasped the miracle that took place in that miracle as it was performed, the feeding of the 5,000. It was especially, I think, for their benefit. And of course, as Jesus walked on the water towards them in their boat, only the disciples saw that. He was teaching them above all in this section. I take it he's teaching us too. It's a story we know very, very well. Feeding the 5,000 is sort of Sunday school fare, and we're very familiar with it. We know what happened. But of course, the disciples knew what happened. They had seen it. They were eyewitnesses to it. And yet, strikingly, Mark comments, when Jesus climbs into the boat and the wind stops, Mark says at the end of verse 51, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. We might think, well, what was wrong with their reaction? Surely that's a perfectly reasonable reaction. We'd be freaked out if we saw someone walking on the waves in the middle of the night. But Mark says, if they'd understood about the loaves, they would not have reacted as they did. And that should make us ask ourselves, what should they have understood from that vast picnic so that they would not have been freaked out simply as they saw Jesus walking on the waves towards them? For all that they knew what had happened at the picnic, they clearly hadn't grasped the significance of what happened. And I suspect that might be true for us. We know the story, but have we grasped the truth that is being revealed here for us? So we need to listen carefully. It's the only miracle apart from the resurrection that each of the four gospel writers includes. So clearly it's a crucially important miracle to help us understand who Jesus is. So let's listen. And listen not least, because if we grasp what is being shown here about the Lord Jesus, then we would also find how to know rest. And I'm sure many of us at the moment may be feeling at the end of our resources, may be feeling as though we're being battered by storms. Well, Jesus is actually showing us how we can know rest in the midst of that. So let's look at the first story, the feeding of the 5,000. thousands. The disciples had just returned from their little mission trip we saw 2 weeks ago. They were sent out in pairs. And they've come back, they're buzzing about all that has happened, and no doubt pretty exhausted. And yet the debrief keeps getting interrupted. The crowds won't leave them alone, and there's not even a chance to get a bite to eat. So Jesus says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. They've been doing lots for Jesus. They need some time with Jesus. And there can be a lesson in that for us. So Jesus says, let's go to a quiet place. And I guess we're thinking of this, you know, perfect holiday spot, rural retreat, away from the crowds. Perfect, we think. And yet there's rather more significance in what Jesus says than simply that. The word that's translated in verse 31, quiet place, it's the same word translated in verse 32 as solitary place, and in verse 35 as a remote place. And the word means wilderness or desert. And in the Bible, the wilderness is a place with spiritual significance. Both these stories have lots of echoes of the time of the Exodus, when God's people had left Egypt, where they'd been slaves, on their way to the Promised Land. But for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. The wilderness was a place of trial and test. It was a hard place in part, but it was also the place especially where they had known the shepherd care of God, the Bible tells us. That's where, wonderfully, he had led them. He had fed them. He had been with them. In one of the Psalms, we read this: he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. Those years in the wilderness were remembered as a time when, especially, they had known the shepherd care of God. Well, here in Mark 6, in this wilderness, Jesus is going to test the disciples, but he's also going to show them that he is the Lord of the Exodus. He is the divine shepherd of his people. Well, they set off in a boat, and I guess they could see the crowds following them on the shore, and like a snowball, more and more people sort of joining them, the crowd getting bigger and bigger. And I imagine the disciples thinking, oh, just go home, will you? Leave us alone. We're peopled out. This is our time. And yet Jesus doesn't say, sail on. He says, pull in. Verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. That word compassion implies a gut-wrenching response. He was deeply, profoundly moved as he saw these crowds. And not simply moved as we can be when we see terrible scenes on a TV. He was moved to act. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And so he shepherds them. He shows himself to be the true shepherd. He sees their needs and meets their need. In the first place, by teaching them. They needed God's word. But he's not only concerned for spiritual needs. He sees and cares for their physical needs too. He will feed them with bread and fish. At the end of the chapter, we see him healing their bodies. There is no one more compassionate than the Lord Jesus, the perfect shepherd. As a shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knows us. He cares for us. And he is deeply, deeply moved by our needs. The needs that we're aware of and needs that we're not actually aware of too. as he looks at us. Maybe we imagine, well, of course he'll care for that person as we look around. He might care for them, I'm sure, with great compassion. But does he really care for me? The Bible would say no one cares more. No one understands better. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. At the start of the passage, we're told the disciples weren't even getting a chance to grab a bite to eat. As the days go on, they're conscious they still haven't had a chance to eat, nor have this vast crowd, and it's getting late. So we read verse 35. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus says to them, I want you to do it. And they say, are you kidding? We don't have the resources to feed these thousands of people. Jesus says, what resources do you have? They say, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes what they have, and through them, he feeds the multitude. And we're told, verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. The disciples went round, each with their basket of leftovers, no doubt saying to everyone, anyone, more bread, a bit more fish, please, it's all got to go, like mother at the dining room table. And people said, oh, no, we're stuffed. Really, I couldn't have anything else. John, in his account of this miracle, tells us something of the crowd's reaction to it. But for Mark, his focus is particularly on the disciples. This was their time with Jesus. Jesus is teaching and training them. And he was showing them he is the divine shepherd. As the Lord had miraculously fed his people in the wilderness at the time of the Exodus, so Jesus miraculously fed the people till they were satisfied. He's the shepherd who sees our needs, who meets our needs. The shepherd of amazing power. Wonderfully, the shepherd too of perfect compassion and boundless grace. At the end of the day, no doubt the disciples are still pretty exhausted. This day has not been the break they wanted, the break they thought they needed. But there is a rest that they would know if they grasped what was being revealed to them. The divine shepherd was there, the one who looks on us with perfect compassion, who perfectly provides for all our needs, whose power and grace is always sufficient, who can use us even in our weakness when we feel that the tank is completely empty. We might feel at the end of our resources, we might be conscious of needs that we've shared with no one else. But he sees, for he knows us. He's the shepherd who, if we would trust him, will bring us real rest. It's a wonderful truth. I'm mindful there'll be some here. Maybe it's your first time in St. Ebbs. You've just arrived in Oxford. And no one here knows you, maybe. And it's quite hard at the moment to get to know you. You're all masked up. We don't have long to chat at the end. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that our shepherd sees us and knows us and has compassion towards us. Early the next morning, just before dawn, between 3 and 6 in the morning it was, the disciples weren't feeling particularly rested, no doubt. Hour after hour, they have been straining at the oars, battling against the wind, desperately trying to get across, back across the lake to where Jesus had said he would meet them. And they've been at it all night long. I guess it seemed as though they were getting absolutely nowhere. Imagine them exhausted, frustrated, utterly miserable. This really hadn't been the break that they had in mind. And then we read halfway through verse 48. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. There's only one person in the Bible who walks on water, and that is God. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea, Job says. And Mark tells us more. He says, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. That, again, is a very significant phrase. Slightly odd at first sight. We think, why on earth was he going to pass them by? Was he trying to race them to the other shore? Had he not noticed them? Well, as I said, there are lots of echoes of the Exodus in these two stories. And there's an important one here. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked to see God's glory. And so he stood in the cleft in a rock up on Mount Sinai. And we're told the Lord passed by, declaring, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Great moment of revelation as God passed by. And this is a moment of revelation. As Jesus, walking on water, as only God can do, passes by, he is revealing his glory to the disciples. He is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. But the disciples don't get it, don't grasp what's being revealed. This is a ghost, they think. They're terrified. So Jesus speaks. Take courage, he says. It is I. Don't be afraid. That little phrase, it is I, literally is just I am. The way God identified himself to Moses at the burning bush. Jesus is not saying, don't worry, it's just me. As though it's perfectly normal for a bloke to walk on the waves. He's saying, don't worry, I'm the Lord, the God of the Exodus, the saving God who redeemed you, the gracious and compassionate God. Strikingly, after Job had said that God alone is the one who stretches out the heavens and treads the waves of the sea, he goes on to say, when he passes by, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. For Job, God was a mystery. But here in the Lord Jesus, God was revealing himself. Here is the Lord, the shepherd of his people, come to be with them. And he climbs in the boat, and the wind stops. The disciples are freaked out because they had not understood about the loaves. If they'd grasped what they should from the feeding of the 5,000, their response should have been one of joy and wonder and faith. For here was not just a power beyond their understanding that leaves them scared witless, a power that could multiply loaves and walk on water. And much more importantly, they were in the presence of the divine shepherd, the one whose presence brings rest. And even in the middle of the night, in the middle of the sea, and then the Bible, sea represents chaos and evil. And yet, even though I walk through the darkest valley, David said, I will fear no evil, for you, my shepherd, are with me. Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. It's your shepherd, the one who knows you, the one who cares perfectly for you, the one who is full of compassion, abounding in love and faithfulness. Do you see how grasping that brings rest, even in the storm? We said Psalm 23 earlier in the service together, and as Vaughan said, we know the words very, very well, but I wonder whether we believe it as we should. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Really? Well, yes, if this Lord is my shepherd, then I can absolutely be confident that when he sees my need, he doesn't shrug his shoulder and unmoved by it. No. He has a gut-wrenching response of compassion. He is the shepherd who will surely satisfy my needs. As those 5,000, Mark says, sat on green grass, well, so he makes me lie down in green pastures. And though there may be times when he tests me in the wilderness, those dark moments, well, even in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Knowing that he is my shepherd, I can know rest, even when I feel right at the end of my resources, right in the thick of the storm, for Jesus is the divine shepherd, the one whose power is awesome, so no situation is too desperate for him. I might often feel at the end of my resources, but surely we will never exhaust his resources. His power is boundless. But notice too, so is his grace. And really, that's especially what the disciples failed to grasp. They had seen his power, they saw the miracles, but they hadn't seen that those miracles showed more particularly that he was the shepherd, the one who cared for them with perfect kindness and compassion. The reasons our souls so often lack rest is not that we doubt God's power. We know God can do anything. Again and again, my problem, and perhaps your problem, is that I doubt or fail to grasp his grace, his shepherd care for us. Let me pray. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus, please help us better to grasp and trust your shepherd care for us, that you are the Lord, compassionate and gracious, abounding in love and faithfulness, that you, when you see our needs, are deeply moved and care, the perfect shepherd of our souls. Please help us to remember that and to find rest for our souls in that. For your name's sake, amen.